The Holy Gospel is written in the 6th chapter of St. John, beginning at the 56th verse. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but among you there's some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I've told you that no one can come to me unless this is granted by the Father." And because of this, many disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. What a pleasure to be here today. Thank you for inviting me to share God's words with you. Through my brother, Bishop Robert Wilch, I've heard so many great things about your ministries, about you people, and wonderful music. My word, Tom Gregory, I knew him when I had hair. A long time ago in Waukesha when he was at the Baptist church there. And look at this front row over here. My sister-in-law's over here. Sandra Wilch and her friends and family. Oh, it's so good to see you all. There's something about your church, you know that? The order of worship is like the order of worship I experienced when I was a teenager in Appleton. Trinity Lutheran. Clem Zither was the pastor, brother to the two mayors of Milwaukee. It's just amazing. You're more Lutheran than the Lutheran church is today. Where do I sign up? My wife Nadine and I served St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Waukesha for 52 years, and if we could get new bodies, we'd do it all over again. St. Mark's and First Church has a couple things in common. The readings that you heard today are the same readings being heard at St. Mark's Church today. The same. And your music director, Lee Jacoby, when he was at university, was our choir director for 2 years. We want him back. On July 22nd, my wife Nadine and I worshiped with you at the 10 a.m. service. The sacred music lifted our souls, as it's going through today. It was a duet by a couple who had powerful voices. And as they praised the Lord, I sinned. My eyes began to wander. Look around this place. I looked at all the people ahead of me. They were all younger than I. I looked at the pulpit here. My, I'm going to be up there on August 26th. Then I looked at the altar area. What's that all about? It's all there for the taking and the looking. Ann Callan, in early July, sent me the gospel for today. John 6, 56, 69. And the gospel is all up there in those altar appointments. I mean, it's a complete package of the ministry of Jesus Christ. The complete package of the ministry of St. Mark's and First Church, Congregational Church. It's all there. Look at the base of the altar. It's a communion cup and a wafer. And what was the first line in the gospel today? Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Jesus is abiding in you and me. Every time we partake, it's all up here, people, for the looking and the taking. Look above the altar. There's a book up there. Oh, let's see. I don't think it's Gone with the Wind, is it? Harry Potter book? No. That is God's Holy Word book. And it says, A to O, Alpha and Omega, from A to Z, given you and me hope. The person who designed these holy appointments up here must have been a believer. He or she, I wish I knew the double-down ministry of Jesus Christ and God. Look up, look down. Look up, look down. Keep looking, people. I sure did on July 22nd. I looked at the cross while they kept singing the cross of Jesus Christ, an empty one. Most Roman Catholic churches have a crucifix where Jesus is fixed to the cross to tell the people that Jesus died for them. St. Mark's in Waukesha and this church here have an empty cross. Christ is risen. He's let loose into this ministry of your church and in your worship here today. Let loose for your taking and for your believing. Well, did you ever take Jesus into your life? Did you? Hooray! Oh, I'm so glad. In the gospel today, in those last verses, Jesus wanted to know if the disciples believed in him. Were they ready now to take him into their lives? And as Jesus talked, this has got to be depressing, the crowds began to dwindle. My word. That's tough for a preacher man. Must have been terrible for Jesus to just see people turn his back and walk out. So Jesus asked the 12, he's looking for a few good men. He asked the 12, do you also wish to leave? To turn your back on me? And there was a pause. I mean, how do you answer that question? Peter, the leader, he's thinking like he had a computer kicking out information that he experienced the two previous years. And he's thinking about Jesus this and Jesus that. And he's probably thinking to himself, you're a regular guy. That helps us fishermen. I can't believe you called me a hard-nosed fisherman. I don't care if you're uneducated. And I don't care if you didn't travel much. But I know, Lord, you never hung around with powerful people. You hung around with guys like me. Sure, you had us for encouragement, but you never had a wife and you never had a child. But you had us for encouragement. Lord, I saw you cry when my mother died, and I saw you cry when you saw lonely people and depressed people and sick people and fearful people. And I know every Friday night we went to the Sabbath prayer meeting. We kept the Sabbath. And I know you read the books of Moses over and over faithfully. You gave me hope all the time, and I'll never forget, Lord, that time that you said it 8 times to us. I remember that. You said, with God, all things are possible. And if Jesus were preaching here today, he would say it this way. With God, all things are possible. And he would tell you today, and tell your children today, to go home and get a scissors. Get the dictionaries that are in the house and cut that word out of your dictionaries. The word impossible. Do it. Peter knew there was no one who could save his life except Jesus. So he had all this internet observation going on, and he finally said, whom am I going to go? I don't know where to go out. Where else to go? You, Lord, have the words of eternal life. I'm unborn. Back in December, I was picking up an order from our local Walgreens. For Christmas every year, one of the gifts we give to our 3 children and 2 adult grandchildren is a box filled with 60 rolls of toilet paper. It's the gift that keeps giving all year long. And they love it. One told us recently, Dad, I haven't bought a roll of toilet paper in 20 years. So I paid the bill. And Gary, the manager, a very faithful Roman Catholic, handed me the receipt. And as he did, I noticed he had some pen marks right here. I said, Gary, what's that all about? What is it? And he showed me it was a cross. He said, Pastor, there's stress in being a manager of Walgreens. But the cross of Jesus is a symbol to me to keep my priorities right when dealing with employees and with customers. Peter and Gary got their priorities right that day. Well, back to July 22nd, I'm still staring at the altar. The couple is still singing. And I look up. Why did the designer of this area up here put a curtain behind the cross? What's that on? I mean, you could have just painted the wall behind it. That would have been fine. Why a curtain? It reminded me of a book I read back in the 60s. By Taylor Caldwell, called The Listener. It's about a curtain. People came from all over to this place that has a curtain. It's all it has. And people sit in front of the curtain and talk to the curtain about their struggles and their aches and their pains. What Paul called the thorns in the flesh. And the book talks of people who don't have a listener in their lives. That's a shame. Everybody needs someone to talk to. And so the curtain became their listener. So I'm staring at the curtain. We're sitting, I don't know, back there somewhere. Is this the place of the curtain that is talked about in the book? Is First Church the church of the curtain? Where do we go when we hurt? Who will listen? When we worshiped with you in July, we met a lady who was keeping her husband in blessed memory that day. She placed flowers up here. And I'm sure that this church and you people and her family and that empty cross and that let loose Jesus in this room comforted her. Her sister even came from California to be here with her that day. Is First Church the place of the curtain? I hope each of you has a listener in your life. Recently, my wife
who was struggling with macular degeneration and back problems, met a lady whom we had served years ago. And she said, "How are you doing, Nadine?" And Nadine said, "Do you really want to know?" And she said, "Of course, but don't take too long." Mercy. So in the book, they come to the place of the curtain. No one knows if there is a person behind the curtain or not, but they still come. Finally, page 210, a man comes to talk about his thorns. Talks for an hour. He finally can't stand it any longer, and he yells out, "Is there anyone behind the curtain?" No answer. Exhausted, the man touches the button that opens the curtain. And the curtain flies open. And there, nailed to the cross, is the image of Jesus Christ, carved in beautiful white ivory. But it's not the image of the dead Christ that we often see in a crucifix, where the head is, you know, dead. But this image, it appears that Jesus is alive, the living Christ. His head is lifted up, and he's leaning forward, straining to listen to the last hurt from everybody. Tilted head, almost like a dog, you know, tilts the head when you say something. Listening for everybody's hurt. I want you to know that there is one here today who listens when you come for help and hope. One who will always listen. Hasten to him, my friends. He waits just for you. For you alone. I too am exhausted right now. I've got to push the button to open the curtain.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Take hold of his powerful hand. He will lift you up in his mighty love. In the strength of your God, you can stand. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the face of strangely dim in the light of his glory.